Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with CB Gold and Tyler Bowe.
How's it going, guys?
This is the first podcast from my apartment. We're going rogue right now. This is punk rock here. This is a punk rock podcast. We started from the bottom. Then we were there. Now we're back. But it's going to be good. We're going to have a great show. It's us today. We don't have the capabilities to do call-ins yet, but we will. So, we have Frank Mir coming into my apartment this Thursday, as well as Friday we have Anthony Burchak coming into the apartment, as well as Sean McCorkle. Yes, I fucking almost got Sean's name. So it's gonna be great. I like it better. I like it better out of my apartment. I don't have to go anywhere. Everything's good. We're gonna decorate this place. We're gonna put videos. We're gonna put cameras here. We're gonna turn this into a fucking studio. Why? Because that's how I fucking roll, dude. I want to thank our sponsor, Tip a Fighter. Listen, fighters are not paid what they need to be paid. They entertain us every fucking week. I mean, sometimes, how many times is a fight Thursday, Friday, Saturday? So many fighters out there, and I wish they'd be making more money because they deserve it. I think it's the hardest sport in the world, hardest profession in the world. It's right there with comedy. So I think comics should get paid more, and I think fighters should get paid more. I did a show the other day at the Dime Bar, and one of the guys that listens to our show gave me $40. He said, "Hey, man, listen, I know you like to be tipped. Gave me $4. How fucking cool was that? I'm telling you, that night I went out to with my girlfriend. And I had an extra $4 in my pocket, so it was good. But things are going good. I just got back from I did a show in Tonopah, Nevada, which is a 6-hour drive. I was there on Sunday for Memorial Day. The town holds 3,000 people, the whole town, and 300 people came to the show. So it was a tenth of the town.
Nice.
Which was awesome. It was me and Aaron Bowden went. It was funny, though. There was a guy who must have been, like, I don't know, in his 80s in the front row. This older guy, and I was calling him the guy from Six Flags, you know, the guy that dances around. He looked just like that guy. And he was with these kids, and he's like going to the bathroom, and I'm like, "Sir, you know, during the set," he gets up and walks to the bathroom. I'm like, "Sir, did you see the light?" Like, I was like messing with him, like, you know, this was his time. So then he comes up to the stage and hands me a magnifying glass and tweezers and says, "I was looking for your penis." This guy brought props to the show, and I'm like, what are you, Carrot Top's fucking grandfather? Like the audience. I'm like, how long did you have you carried around tweezers and did you bring that just for the comedy show? It was unbelievable. Everyone was going crazy. It was really, really funny. And I'm like, so you could have just said I have tweezers and a magnifying glass. You have to actually bring it.
That guy probably walks around every day with that in his pocket. So he can do that joke constantly.
It was so funny. It was really, really funny. And then it was just a great crowd. There was a couple teenagers that were pregnant there, like 18 and pregnant, I guess in small towns. And there was one kid there that I was like, "Hey, do you play sports for your team?" And he's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Well, it's got to be hard playing every position because there was like 20 kids in the whole school." But he was, I'm like, "You're like the valedictorian and the worst student in the class." But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I had a great time. The people there were super nice. They gave me a good... So it was good. It was a fun. It was a really good experience. So that was that, and then that was it. I hosted the show at the Ha Ha Friday. Hosted the late show. That was great. Last night I just took a night off, relaxed a little bit. Got up today. I saw my therapist, working stuff out. And tonight at the Dime Bar, it's gonna be great. I believe Dane Cook is showing up tonight to do a set, and Damon Wayans Jr. So it's gonna be in this little bar that I created. We're gonna have great, great comics. How are you doing, CB?
I'm doing well. Just got home from Vegas Sunday night. Went to the fights. Just had a great weekend, man. Everything was really awesome, and I got no complaints. Graphed my heart out. Got like 100 something photos done.
Now, what do you do with these autographs?
I keep them.
Like, do you have like put on the wall, or do you have a separate?
No, I have a. It's like a book that holds each photo, and each it's like a portfolio. Each book holds, I think, 48 photos. So I just have them labeled for certain events. I just got done setting up everything for the rest of this week. But for anybody listening who didn't see it on Twitter, we are doing an MMA Roasted T-shirt contest.
Yes.
I've added in a free signed UFC fighter 8x10 to whoever wins the contest.
What fighter?
I don't know. I'll decide when the design.
You know, it's funny. I mean, you know, people are saying to me, "Why don't you pay someone to design your T-shirt?" Because I don't want to. Okay, I'd rather just have a contest. Let one of the fans do it. You guys are way better than me. You're probably better than anyone that I'll pay to do it. And if you like the show and you enjoy the show and you want to see an MMA Roasted T-shirt, you get the winner gets a signed shirt by all of us: me, CB, Bubba, Tyler, Greg. And if you appreciate the show and you want to see your artwork done, great. My girlfriend's good at this stuff, so she's designing one for me. But you know what? The fans know the show, and that's if you want to show your appreciation, do it. It's like there's a whole thing now where people can, you know, what did you tell me about that thing where people can pay for the podcast?
Oh, Patreon.
Patreon, where the crowd can pay for the podcast. And I'm thinking about doing it. I don't know. Part of me doesn't like asking people for money. I know I raised $13,000 for the movie, and I'm still planning on making that movie. And I'm just actually shortening it down to a picture as a TV show also, as well as a movie, and yada, yada, yada. But I'm thinking, a lot of podcasts go that way, where the crowd can actually pay people, but pay us. And I would like to get cameras in here. I would like to just set this studio up. If you don't notice, I live in a 2-bedroom apartment. I converted one of the bedrooms into the podcast studio. It's a pretty big room, right? You guys, I mean, it's a decent sized room.
Perfect size.
I went out, I spent $500 on equipment, none of which works. So then I had to go spend more money on this stuff. But I think that I would like to get actual video cameras in here and be able to stream it live and then put it on YouTube and Facebook. I don't know how to do all that, but I'm thinking about doing a Patreon thing. I don't know. What do you guys think? Hit me up if you think that's something you guys would be interested in actually donating to or not. I don't know. Anyway, so Tyler, what's going on with you?
Not a whole lot, man. I had a kind of a slow week last week for comedy. I did a great show down in Huntington Beach on Thursday night, and
where
Doug James's room down at the Gallagher's
right
pub. It's just this little Irish bar, and they've been doing comedy there for like 15 years or something like that, and they just pack it out. And the guy that runs it is this crazy old dude, but it's a fun show.
Yes.
I didn't have much going on this weekend, but I went out and kind of checked out some spots. Had fun watching the fights with a couple of buddies Sunday night. And, yeah, just looking forward to another big event this week. And I got a bunch of shows lined up, not this week, but next week coming up, so.
Actually, Friday night, I did a show at the Ice House, and I headlined the Ice House, and they had good comics on the show. Your best friend, the guy, what's his name, the guy who sings?
Brett Riley.
Brett Riley was on the show, and
Adam, you're my best friend.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I better be. I'm taking you to the fucking fight on Saturday. But there was a guy who went on, who I had to follow, who was a juggler. But he wasn't just like, he was a really good juggler. Like, I think he might win America's Got Talent, or he's doing well on that, or he's entering it.
Was it Ivan Pacell?
Yes.
Ivan Pacell. He's such a good guy, too.
I had to follow him, and I was nervous because he was destroying, and he was juggling hammers, and not just like balls and tennis balls and a bowling ball. And I'm like, ah, shit. But our hero prevailed. I went up there and just fucking slayed him.
Hero?
Yeah, everyone's hero.
No, I'm sure you killed Ivan. I've done a handful of shows with him. The thing that I love about him is he's very funny in his own right as a comic. He's great. He's a great juggler, but he knows that juggling's like, he knows it's kind of corny or whatever. And so his like tagline is Ivan Pacell making juggling tolerable since, you know, 2002 or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That.
No, it was cool. I had a good time. I was really, really happy. I'm just like, I don't know. I'm almost a year 18 in comedy, and it's a year 18. You just like something hits you, where you just stop caring. You're just like, fuck it, bring it. I'm just like that fighter. I'm like the Shannon Rich. Well, I don't have 110 losses, but
I was going to say your record is a little better.
But I'm just like, fuck it. You want to go? Let's go. All right, 2 days' notice. Bring it. So let's talk about the fights that happened. There was a really, really. What was I going to say? So it was good. I was actually I loved watching UFC Fight Night. Some great fights. You know, let's first talk about the Aljamain Sterling-Brian Caraway fight. It's kind of how I picked a draw. And I think it might have been an actual draw.
I thought it could have been definitely.
The first round was definitely 10-8. Were you there, too?
Yeah.
No, the first round was definitely 10-8. I think it was 10-8.
I thought it was 10-8.
And I think that, you know, the draw was the pick. I think that it's funny, those two fighters, because Aljamain, I think, is the more talented natural, more blessed fighter. Brian Caraway is the grizzled vet who has just been around, and I think it's a case of one guy having too much confidence in Aljamain versus Caraway having too little confidence. Like, he's the guy that needs to see a therapist and a mental coach and everything else. And it was a very, very close fight. I'm not happy Aljamain lost, because I like Aljamain. I wanted them both to win. But I'm happy that Aljamain now knows that he can lose. And I'm happy that the way he lost was he didn't get hurt. He didn't get beat up. He didn't get knocked out. He didn't get fucked up. He lost a fight. He got out grappled in a fight. He walked away. I don't think he's gonna, you know, be on medical suspension for 6 months. But it was a very interesting fight. And I think that also Lou Trishan, who has been working with Aljamain, I'm telling you, this guy, I know he's friends with my friend Brian, and he seems like a really nice guy. Aljamain looked amazing. He looked like a professional bodybuilder. He looked more ripped than he's ever looked in his career. But he gassed in the first. He gassed second round. He had nothing left. He didn't have. And I think that Lou, it's difference between, you know, being an athlete and being an MMA fighting shape. You know, like, it's a different type of getting in shape. And Caraway had the better cardio. And if you look at those two fighters and you go, who has better cardio? If you look at who has better cardio, you're going to say Aljamain Sterling has the better cardio out of those two. But he didn't have the better cardio. Thoughts, CB?
Okay, so I have a lot of things to say to that on different levels. Number one, a lot of people, and I know it's been said in here, they make fun of the whole graphing thing. But I don't only do it for photos and autographs. I ask the guys, and ask them how they're doing, how their camp's been, how they look. And, you know, I saw Aljamain the night before weigh-ins. And he was walking back to his room at 137. And this was probably around 11 o'clock midnight. And he looked ripped. He went to bed at 137.
Which is fine.
So he had a pound to cut. He looked good. Like, his body looked good. But his face didn't look good. He looked like he was having somewhat of a tough cut. And I'm not taking a shot at nutrition, but there could be something about walking around, like, you know, 10 pounds over, whatever it is. So that's one of the things. The other thing about Brian not really having the confidence, I think he got it this week, because he was walking around, and I didn't see him much because they live in Vegas, so he wasn't really staying at the hotel until the last night, the night of the weigh-ins, or the night before the fight. And when they weighed in, which I was at too, Brian said something to him, and nobody heard it. So when I saw Brian and Misha, I said, you know, what'd you say to him? And he goes, I told him his time's up. And they both went in there strong. Aljo gassed after the first. And then the one thing I noticed was he's on the ground. He's on his back. And he's got this, like, under cradle, under, like, Brian's groin. And he's trying to, like, pull him so Aljo can get back mount. It's like, dude, you're gassed, and you're trying to lift this dude, turn him, all these things. And Brian's just kind of like laying on him, controlling him, and I'm wondering what the hell he's doing. But first round, gassed after that for sure, but I think the first round should have gone 10-8.
I'll tell you what, Aljo gassed. He's in phenomenal shape, but you can't carry a gold chain like that around and not have it
and
it
a 14-inch cock too, as well.
Well, I don't know about that, but the chain.
Now?
I'm telling you, the chain. It was too much for him. It wore him out, and he was gassed before he got in there. The mental aspect. I don't know if you guys watched the post fight interview, but Caraway mentioned that, because people always ask, "Oh, are we looking at a new Brian Caraway?" And one of the things he mentioned was talking to mental coaching and mental preparation, and how he felt like more confidence going into this fight. So that was an issue. One of the things I want to talk about in this fight was that crazy position. It was like, Aljo had him in, like, yeah, he had him in
the,
like,
full Nelson.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of, but it was,
but he,
like,
didn't have the Nelson.
He had his forearm behind his neck, and he was kind of cranking it like a Nelson. But
yeah, that should be 2 points right there. I think if you pull off certain moves, it should automatically be a 10-8, even if you get your ass kicked the entire time.
I've never seen that before.
The thing is, so many judges are so hard to give a 10-8 round.
Yeah, no,
I can see it, but I didn't see. He absolutely controlled the ground, and he did land some heavy strikes, but I don't know if you can make the case for a 10-8. But
and also, it was the second half of the round. It wasn't like minute, you know, 10 seconds in to 5 minutes. It was dominance. It was a pretty even fight going into, like, minute 230, and then he started really pouring it on. There's a lot of, I mean, look, I think that Aljamain learned a lot in this fight. I don't think he necessarily underestimated Brian, but he definitely, you know, but I think that in a rematch, Aljamain might win the rematch. It's not, that was a very, very close fight. And
what judge gave him the fight?
Aljamain Bird, or Adelaide Bird, who I think is the worst judge. It seems like she's every single fight she has this, something, I don't know what. She shouldn't be judging anything. Seriously, yeah. She shouldn't.
Stevie Wonder would do a better job.
Yeah, really. Good Judge Judy, or you know, sorry, I mean, that, it was horrible, awful. So I don't know. I was happy for both of them. I was happy for Brian because the night that I hung out with Brian, it was me, Brian, Tracy Lee, and Heather, Joe Clark, and Brian didn't like me because I had made 10 million Caraway jokes before that, and he came to my show and he gave me a look like you better not. And I look in and I was having an okay set. It wasn't a great set. But he was crying laughing. He loved it. He loved every minute of it. And we went out that night, and we had the best time. He had a couple drinks. We talked about his old fights. He was the most humble, down-to-earth, like, just a nice person. And it wasn't this same Brian Caraway that I knew from, you know, telling Ronda Rousey, I'll knock your fucking teeth out, or whatever it is. This was a different guy, and ever since then, I've had a spot in my heart for Brian Caraway, and I'm happy for him because it's also, look, when you're dating Misha Tate and you're 5'3" and
you weigh the same, and you fight the same weight.
Same weight, and it's a girl that everybody in the world wants to fuck, and you get to fuck her, and everyone just makes you as the beta man. It's not the easiest position in the world. So I give Caraway a lot of credit.
I'm sure he gets some good positions, but I actually have a funny joke for you, speaking of roasting him.
What's that?
So when I went up to him and Misha to get a picture with the belt, I said, I'd love to take a picture with you guys holding the belt. And Brian goes, well, that actually should be my belt because I'm the one that gets roasted the most. Almost had to give it to him.
Yeah,
you know?
No, he does get roasted the most because he could take it. Misha gets upset. I remember Misha came on the podcast and she was the only one out of the 3 years of having a podcast that had stipulations, which is I'm going to hang up as soon as I get an inappropriate question. And I'm like, oh, God, like, that's not how you want to go into an interview. And then so she was like, Ronda Rousey's so fake. And I was like, speaking of fake, she goes, don't even. She's like, I'll hang up. I was like, all right. But anyway, I'm happy for them. I'll tell you also I'm happy for Chris Camozzi. A lot of people did not have him winning, especially the guy CB Gold right here. I'm happy Chris won. Chris is a guy that always asked me, hey, man, roast me. When I was in Vegas, he was like, I really want to meet you, man. I just want, like, he was like going up to me, where are you going to be? He kept hitting me up, where I'm going to be. So the night I meet him, I'm stoned out of my mind. Like, and I hate meeting people for the first time when I'm stoned because I always think that they think that I'm a fucking idiot or like I'm not there or I'm slower. I try to say as little as possible so I don't embarrass myself. I don't know if you, Tao doesn't smoke. Joe, you smoke? By the way, we have a new sound guy, Joe, who's a very, very funny comedian. He used to work at the Ha Ha. He's 19 years old, right? 20 years old. Super, super nice kid. Big fan of the show, Joe Perez. So he's our new sound guy. He will be having a mic in upcoming shows. So we're doing it out of my apartment now. We're going to have more things to do. Anyway.
Can we have a comedy battle between him and not funny or not very, whoever, Brian from Milk Money?
Oh God. I like Brian, but man. Yikes.
You think Joe would kill him on the stage?
Joe's a beast. So Chris Camozzi, you know, he's a guy that when I talked to him, he was worried about getting cut from the UFC. He had just lost two fights, and he was like, man, all I want to do is fight. He goes, if I get cut from the UFC, I'm going to fight every week. I'm going to go to a different town and fight their guy. That's all I want to do is fight. And then he said him and his gym members were going to join that league where it's 10-on-10 fighting. This dude is a legit fighter. That's all he wants to do is fight. And I was happy for him. I was also happy for him because he told me he was the only guy that never had a takedown in the UFC. He had like 10 fights without getting one takedown.
He went 0-16 for takedowns. He got in the win column there a little bit, but still.
Yeah. So I was happy for Chris. Good dude.
That was a beating he put on Vitor.
Yeah.
That was a beating. It was like you're watching it and you're just seeing Vitor's face. Every round, it's just getting worse and worse and bloodier and bloodier. And it was just a lot of people were like, where's all that blood coming from on Chris? I'm like, that's coming from Vitor's face.
Yeah, I was super happy for Chris, even though he has the worst fucking tattoo. He's hard to make fun of, too, because a guy like that
why is
like,
it the worst? The one on his chest?
Yeah, it looks
that's
like
an
a,
awesome piece.
Like, he Kermit looks the like Frog's a, testicles.
He looks like he's got a permanent Ed Hardy t-shirt on.
It's a grenade with two skulls and wings.
Well, I guess a guy who has six Conor McGregor tattoos, you get five, and the Joker, ha ha ha, written all over your body. I guess that is probably a very nice
Never
tattoo.
Never mind the other 114 tattoos.
You have 114?
I have 120 tattoos.
Wow.
Or as my artist says, I have one. It starts at my shoulders and goes all the way down.
120 tattoos.
12 years, man.
Wow. By the way, so Sarah McMahon, speaking of tattoos, somebody actually took a picture of her back and then posted it going like, what a shitty tattoo, which I don't know. Look, that fight, by the way, like I actually tweeted during that fight that there was, I'm not saying there's no action, but Bill Cosby just got a boner.
It was bad.
And it's funny because the two girls that tweeted it were Lauren Murphy, who thought that was the funniest thing ever, and Leslie Smith. It's always like the chicks that like in their weight class who those girls fought. It was a bad fight. It was a good fight for Sarah. I mean, it was a little boring, but she dominated. She won. She, you know, took no damage. And it wasn't an exciting fight. It wasn't the best fight. I think somebody said, I think it was Kevin Lee that said that Jessica Eye was way more concerned with, you know, Sarah's game plan than doing her own game plan. You know, it was all about she wasn't, you know, putting her will onto Sarah. I know that Jessica Eye was, you know, looked devastated after the fight. It was hard to watch. I'm a big fan of Jessica Eye. I don't know where she goes from here. She's obviously a very talented fighter, and I felt bad for her because I like both of them. But it was not a very exciting fight. And you know, Sarah even said at the end, she's like, "I would like a title shot," but in the most nicest way possible.
Yeah,
however,
how do you argue for that? There's no argument. How do you give her a title shot after that?
Well, you don't. But she did almost beat Miesha Tate. That first fight with Miesha, she had Miesha on Queer Street.
But that was before she was the champ.
Fine, but she had her hurt, and then round two, Miesha won, and then round three was very close. Miesha got a takedown, so Miesha won. But it was a very close fight.
That was also quite a few fights ago for her.
Yeah, you're right.
There's a lot more compelling matchups, I think, that can be made right now. She got another good fight and maybe a more decisive win or something, then she could argue. But she did ask very nicely.
She's a very nice girl.
As for Jessica, you know, she after the fight, I saw a thing on Instagram. I was already on my way home. She was in good spirits. She said, you know what, whatever comes next, comes next. I would say, and I can't guarantee it, but I would say I think she had a tough camp. Or a tough cut, because all of the fighters were in one hotel and they all checked in, like not together, but they're all there. And then she ended up staying at a different hotel until the night before the fight. I never saw her all week, and she had to come over a few times. And the only time I saw her was she rushed into an elevator at like 11:30 at night, the night before the fight, and nobody saw her. She was the only one I didn't see all week.
Yeah. So, I think they're both kind of hot, though. And, like, I think they're both girlfriend material. They both have great bodies. They're probably fucking animals in bed. Probably Sarah more than Jessica. I just feel like Jessica would be more of a complainer, a little more than Sarah. Sarah's the kind of chick that I think will just break your dick. I mean, she just looks like she's just down. She's like in cougar mode. Jessica hasn't reached cougar mode yet.
I was going to say, Jessica will be nicer to your dick.
She'll be nicer. But Sarah's like, I know what I want. I want it now. So she'll throw you on the bed and just fuck your brains out. Do you agree?
Oh, I mean, I don't know, like, psychologically, but I'm saying physically, she's so jacked, man. She's like almost cyborg level ripped.
Really? You think so?
Sarah McMahon?
Her arms are huge.
She's so built.
She doesn't have the six pack, but I feel like her arms and shoulders, if she gives you a handy, it's like three strokes, and then you're done. Like, your dick might be ripped off with a hand job.
I think it was funny at the MMA Awards when she was in that dress, but she's, like, so ripped, and then she's wearing this, like, revealing, like, almost risque dress, and you're like, is that Sarah McMahon? Like,
well,
it's
funny,
nothing like
the funny part is that at the time, I was with Gina, and Gina, who actually, you know, she's a 135er, who won her fight in one round. You could see it. She did great. But she's like, hey, Sarah, can I feel your ass? And Sarah goes, "You're not a lesbian, right?" And she's like, "No." She goes, "Okay." Like, if she was a lesbian, she'd say no, because then you're getting pleasure out of it.
And you're sitting in the corner playing with yourself.
No, I was
meanwhile,
just like...
Meanwhile, Adam's like, "I'm not a lesbian."
You're right. I was just entertained by this. I was like, first of all, like, that would never happen with a guy. Now a guy'd be like, "Hey, can I grab your dick?" Like, that would never, you know, that would you're not gay, right? No, okay, yeah, sure. Just fucking
go
grab
for it.
That would never happen. But I thought it was hilarious. I thought the whole thing was pretty hilarious. That fight was not the best fight. Cody No Love, man, that was how I did not see the fight going that way, but I knew Cody was going to win. I didn't know he was going to knock him out in the first. His speed was good. He looked
so
tight,
fast.
Looked comfortable. And I'll tell you, I hung out with Cody one day at one of the UFCs, it was like the finales. I think it was the one where Ellenberger got knocked out by Stephen Thompson. Cody was dating Paige VanZant at the time, so I was sitting next to both of them, and she was very sweet as well. But this dude Cody is a real nice guy. He's not like you think a guy with a neck tattoo and the way he looks, like this guy would kind of be a cocky prick or an arrogant or smug or he would condescending or whatever. Not at all. I mean, as humble as they come, nice, almost to the point where you're like, is this the right person inside this body? Like, he's just a very polite, just really cool. I like Cody a lot. I'm really happy for him. I think that was a really good matchup for him. I'm curious to see how he's going to do. That 135-pound division is stacked. I was talking about my little brother Max about that. I mean, you got the champ, Dominic. You got Faber, who I don't think is the number two guy, but let's say he's number two guy right now. Then you got TJ. And then now you got Cody, who's
got
to be up there. Dodson. So, you got Caraway. You got Aljamain. I mean, that's seven guys right there that are just besides the Eddie Winelands and the Manny Gamberry.
You still got Tomas Almeida coming
Tomas Almeida. I mean, that 35-pound division is stacked.
Well, Almeida was four going into that fight, right?
Yeah.
So you think that going to put Cody up at four now, or that
I think he was already re-ranked, and I think he's number four.
Okay, dude, that was a huge win for him. That rocketed him right up the ladder. I had picked him to win. That was a tough pick because I mean, you got two guys coming in undefeated, but God, man, 9-0 with 8 KOs, like that's.
Cody has been knocked out before, though,
as an amateur.
Yeah,
so he hasn't really been hit yet clean in the pros. I think his chin is fine. Maybe he has been hit, but I want to see him go against up. I want to see him against Dodson.
That's what they were talking about. I woke up to like a bunch of tweets. What do you think, Cody versus Dodson? I'm like, I don't know. Cody's got power, but Dodson's got power and speed, and he's little.
But yeah. I know Cody's got power. I was impressed with his hand speed in that first round, man. Watching him throw the exchanges with Almeida, like, because it's like you know people say speed kills, and like. I know when he sits down on his punches and lands, he's got power. But, like, dude, how fast – like, when you watch a guy – that's like – you know, you always think these guys are, like, fast until, like, they go against a Demetrius Johnson or a Dodson or, even Cruz. Like, you watch how much faster these guys are, just a little bit faster, and then you go, God, man, it's just so impressive.
Cody Dodson, though, I wonder because in that fight, is Cody going to go balls out or is he going to keep use his distance? If I were Cody, I would use my distance.
He would have to use his distance.
He would have to, right?
If Dodson gets inside – you're going to have a lot of trouble, and he's so fast.
But Cody was, I think, like 30-1 as an amateur boxer. I mean, he's got legitimate boxing skills. I would argue he has the best boxing skills in the division. There's no one else that has that types of boxing credentials in that division.
You know what's funny about that is other people were asking me the other night and leading up to today, they were like, you know, how does he do against Dom? I said, it's a good fight. He's got power, but Dom's got the best head movement and footwork in the division, if not the UFC. Like, so it would be a very interesting matchup, but they were like, whoa, because TJ. I'm like, yeah, TJ barely hit him in that fight, so you really don't know. But like you said, there's so many guys at 135.
Darian Caldwell, who I think is as good as any of them.
He needs to come over.
Yeah, he's not going to. He just signed like a 10-fight contract.
Yeah, he re-signed, and he'll dominate that division. He'll get the winner of Dontis Galvao, and he'll win it. He'll be the champ for sure. I don't see it any other way.
Are you going to the fight Saturday?
This Saturday?
Yeah.
No.
You sold your tickets?
I refunded my tickets. Ticketmaster issued refunds.
Really?
Main event changes in California with UFC authorization. They have to offer refunds, and I thanked God I got my refund. Number one, I was the first person to get a refund through Ticketmaster. But when BJ dropped, I'm like, I don't want to fucking be there anymore. I don't need to go. So, but I'll be at the Fighter Hotel before and after the event, as well as the rest of the
Do people know you now? Like, at the fighters look at you and go, hey, CB.
Honestly?
Yeah.
They more than know me.
What do you mean?
I got, Caraway and Misha weren't stopping for anybody all week. They stopped for me twice.
I got to imagine something to do with I mean, they've seen you out there event after event after event, but now you're standing there with a gold belt. That's got to stand out.
Well,
in the crowd.
I didn't bring the belt out till, I think, Friday.
No, if somebody
Saturday.
Doesn't give you an autograph, will you hit them with the belt like in WWF?
No, not at all. Or but WWE? nobody turned me down all week. I stayed away from one person on the card. I'm going to keep them nameless because I'm not trying to blast them.
Oh, right. Come on.
Really?
Yeah.
We just talked about him a little bit ago.
By the way, you're getting very confident on Twitter as of late.
About
you
what?
You got to be careful.
About what?
About roasting some of these people.
I'm not roasting. I'm just having fun.
I know you're having fun, but I'm a professional comedian. I kind of know my boundaries. I don't want to see you get hurt or like get fucked up or someone come after you.
Was it the Evan Tanner comment?
Well, that was
slamming the guy's head in a car door.
That wasn't great. The Paige Van Zandt one.
That was on. Wasn't that Facebook?
Yeah, that was Facebook.
Yeah, I kept it off Twitter for that
reason. You gotta be careful. You gotta be careful. And then even when guys like say shit to you and you saying, hey, how about I put your head into a locker or something?
Well, yeah, because he said I'd prefer getting my hand slammed in a car door than getting CB's signature.
I understand, so I but CB, if you want to be, you got like the shitty part about being a name in this business, okay? And if you want to be a name, you got to rise above it. You can't engage with, you can't feed the trolls, as they say, and also. You got to be careful with these fighters. I'm telling you this from
the
experience.
The fighters, I'm not worried about. The
I know,
fighters,
but
every one of them is cool with me.
I know, but I've been doing this. I know, but I see you. You're getting more success, and I'm happy for you. Really happy for you. I just don't want to see you get hurt because this is a very dangerous line.
In terms of the fighters,
yeah,
I totally don't understand what you mean.
Okay,
I don't think I crossed any boundaries, and she was there all week. I didn't cross.
No,
any
but
boundaries
on my Twitter, I'm saying.
I didn't do anything with the fighters on Twitter.
The Paige Van Zandt joke.
That was on Facebook.
Even on social media.
Facebook is a little, only certain people. I don't public to the world.
Doesn't matter.
Listen, if Adam thinks you took a joke too far, it's probably.
Well, it's just because it's him, because I don't want him to get hurt, and then all of a sudden someone, a fighter attacks him, and then I'm going to feel
bad.
No,
of course not.
Like, you know, this is like a protege. I have to, like, I'm like the, what's the guy in Batman, the trained Batman?
Robin?
Yeah, I'm like the Ra's al Ghul of this operation.
No,
you know?
I just was making. I
no,
didn't,
it's like
I didn't
no, but it's like,
comment.
But
I'm
no,
just saying
but
you.
It's like when I make jokes about fighters. Okay, I try to do it in a way where you don't insult the fighter, but he is the butt of the joke.
Yeah,
but you don't do it in a way where the guy's really gonna fucking kill you. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
And then sometimes I see people that they tag me in these jokes, and they just say the fucking horrible shit, and I'm like. All right, like, and then I'm like, leave me out of this,
yeah,
dude.
Exactly.
This is not what I'm promoting. This I'm promoting comedy. You know, as a comic, you know, it's not just anybody to go on stage and just roast a crowd. You know, you make it seem like everyone can because you're good at it, and you make it seem like anyone can do it. But you know, I'm just saying.
All right, I won't attack fans, followers, whatever. I won't make jokes about fighters anymore.
Do what you want.
But
you're your own man.
Back to our original conversation,
okay.
Whether the fighters know me or not. It's not because I do the autographing. It's because I've been in this scene and business for close to 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to see Dom this weekend. He'll say what's up to me. Uriah, same thing, always gives me a hug. This last week, my friend who was with us, I had two friends that came with. Two people that you met at the house, mm-hmm. that came with me to the fights, and he was filming my interactions with fighters, and like, these guys actually are happy to see me.
Of course they are. You're a good guy.
But they also know me. You know, I go, guys know me from Extreme Couture. They know me from different gyms and training and all that stuff. This isn't just for the fans of this show that think I just run up, say, sign this, and run away. No, like I said, I have conversations with these people. I have interactions. And I make it to the point where a friend of mine actually was telling me, you know, stop at a certain point because you don't want to abuse the relationship. And so I don't. But even the Brazilian fighters are happy to see me. And that's where the Portuguese comes in, which makes me really happy. But I had a very, very successful fight week. And I love MMA, as everybody knows it. But I will do whatever I can to, you know, keep the fighters happy and whatnot. I'm not just one of those guys, like, sign this, bye.
All right, if Conor McGregor was like, listen, jerk me off, and I'll fight.
Here we go.
Okay, or if you don't give me a hand job, I'm never fighting again, what would you do?
Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm just saying. What if he said that?
Can we get a realistic fucking fight?
I'm just right. Well, if he said, listen,
I'm not gonna jerk off any. You asked me if I'd smoke weed with him, which is a lot less of a fucking stressful situation, and I said no.
All right.
So no, it's
okay. All right.
So irrelevant
to you. All right, but to me, this is all right. Jeremy Stephens. Jeremy Stephens looked great.
Fucking killer, and I loved it.
Yeah. Jeremy Stephens, I don't know if anybody has ever, like, this Barao, I mean, he's really fading fast. I feel like TJ Dillashaw took his soul, but Stephens looked great, and Stephens been around forever. He comes out to Real Motherfucking G's, right, by Eazy-E?
No, I think he came out to Go to Sleep by DMX. And,
oh, wow.
DMX, Eminem. That one.
Oh, nice.
And it's like, go to sleep, bitch, die, motherfucker, die. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
We're getting into it.
I mean, I think.
Oh, I was going to say, I picked Barao. I thought he was due to kind of get back in the win column. But after I made that pick on Thursday, I like to, like, reevaluate my picks after I watch the weigh-ins, you know, just kind of see how guys look. And Stevens looked like such a bigger man. But also there was that weird, like, stumble and shove.
He was like skipping. I talked to Pettinaris as well as Jeremy Stephens, and he was almost like skipping, jogging, and I guess he didn't realize the distance. And Jeremy's like, "Dude, you're in my personal space."
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Shut the shit out of him.
And at that point, I was like, I really, after seeing him out in the weigh-ins, I thought, God, I kind of want to switch to Stephens because, and he's just a killer, man. And then, of course, I stuck with my pick, and he got it done, man.
Stephens looked amazing, and you know, we're talking about a guy that was in jail. Remember a couple years ago?
I couldn't get him out in time for the fight.
You know, he was at, I think that might have been the rock bottom of his career, where he's supposed to be the main event on some fight card. He was in jail, and now look at him. He's just been winning and winning and winning. And I did an interview with him on somebody's radio show, and he seemed like a super nice guy.
He is a very, very nice guy.
His wife is hot, or his girlfriend. She came to my show.
His wife started yelling at somebody when I was talking to Stevens late Saturday night. I walked up to him. I wanted to talk to him, get a picture with him real quick. And somebody walked by and was like, "Oh shit, it's Conor McGregor." And she turns around and goes, "Not everybody's Conor McGregor, you stupid motherfucker."
Really?
And I was laughing, and Jeremy was laughing. The thing about Barao, I think, you know, going up a weight class might have been good for him. I think if he was still at 135 and he was sucked up and everything, I think he could have gotten knocked out in that fight, because he did get blasted. There's two things that I did notice, and I don't know if they showed on TV of them entering the octagon and coming in, but Barao came out to this like upbeat Brazilian Portuguese music, and he was dancing the whole fucking way in. And there's another thing. He went to check in, because all the fighters have to check in before the fight, fill out a little bit of paperwork, whatever, what Alan told us a couple months ago. And so he went in early, he checked in, and then he wasn't fighting till I think like 8:30, 9 o'clock. This was probably 5:30. And my friends told me he walked into the buffet and was eating at the buffet before coming to the fight. Like two
really?
Hours before, I swear to you, before he fought. And he was at the buffet the night before after weigh-ins. So I don't know. I just – there were a lot of things. You know, you see a lot of things when you're there.
Sometimes when you're a grizzled vet, like I remember sometimes before my shows, I'll have like a huge meal, and people look at me like, "How do you eat before you go on stage?" I'm like, bro, you know how many times I rolled up to the show like – I'm running late. I walk in the room and go right on stage. Yeah. That's just the nature of the beast, man. You just go time. Jeremy Stephens has just been there. He's done that. And I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him a lot. Some other fights that went down. The fight I didn't see was the guy with the dumb haircut. Lorenz Larkin.
Oh, you didn't see that one?
No, that was the only one I didn't see.
Masvidal?
Yeah, who won that fight? I heard they gave it to Larkin, but Masvidal was complaining on Facebook.
Larkin won the split. There was a lot of like controversy around it. I do not think that it should have been a split. I felt like Lorenz was doing more. And I, you know, I definitely saw it going to Lorenz 2-1, maybe 3-0. But yeah, there's a lot of people talking about it. I don't see how it could have gone 2-3 to Masvidal.
Yeah.
I had picked Masvidal and I was pulling for him to win. I like him. I think you got Larkin coming down from such a heavyweight class.
Yeah, all your picks were wrong, Tyler. For the record, you sucked this week,
dude,
man.
I think
I got everyone right except for the draw because I didn't want to piss off Aljamain.
I picked Caraway. I picked Garbrandt. I picked Story.
Looked good.
I picked
Story. Pope, looked really good.
I got some picks, but like I think there was a lot of really tough calls and tough matchups. But I think one of the factors in that fight was like Masvidal coming up and Larkin coming down. Like he's a big dude, man, and he just was getting the best of it.
I don't know what is it. I know that 155. I think 155 and 170. It's a stupid weight. It should be like 55, 65, 75, 85, 90. Like because it just seems like these guys that are too big for 55. But not big enough for 170, get screwed, and you see a lot. It's too big of a gap. It's like I mean, it makes no sense. It goes from 25, 35, 45, 55, 170. You know, yeah. I mean, who? I don't understand who came up with that. It should just be 10 pounds, I think, until you get to heavyweight.
They probably didn't have the depth when they first started the league to fill out. I mean, it's like the same thing with the little guys. Like they didn't have.
Yeah, but they do now.
They do now, and I agree, dude. They should because that's where you get so much depth
and get rid of the electoral college too.
Yeah,
that's fucking bullshit. No, I'm serious. The people are like, well, back then, you know, it's not fair for the small states like Maine. Well, it's not. We don't have 13 colleges anymore. Okay, we have everyone. I think the vote should be a regular vote. Everyone's vote, and then whoever gets the most votes wins. You agree?
Yeah, the electoral college is an interesting situation there. And if not enough people live in your shitty state,
yeah,
then maybe more people should move there or you should move somewhere else.
I agree. By the way, you see Trump this morning, his speech?
No.
Oh, my God. I'm not a Donald Trump fan, but I must say, so last night I couldn't sleep. I was up till 2 o'clock in the morning writing jokes. Just had one of those nights. And then I woke up early at like 8 o'clock in the morning. I put on Fox News to fall asleep. That's what I always do because it just puts me to bed. It's science fiction.
Serious?
Yeah. Fox, fucking Bill O'Reilly every night puts me to sleep. I don't agree with like a lot of what he says, but he's entertaining and I fall asleep. So this morning, it was 8 o'clock in the morning. Trump had this thing where like the vets, he had said he gave $6 million to the vets and everyone, the veterans, and people said no he didn't, no one got that money, yada yada. So this morning he calls a press conference at Trump Tower and says exactly how much money he gave to each one. I gave $100,000 to this and $50,000, and then he commented on each one and he said how Hillary's not giving anything to anybody, and then he goes off on the press. He's like, you guys, this is the most dishonest press. And then some guy from ABC says something, then he goes, you're a sleazeball, and just went off. And he's like, I put $1 million of my own money to, and then he had a guy from this veteran guy, this like ex or this current Marine stick up for him, going off on the fucking liberal media, this guy Donald Trump here, he's a good man. It was such theater, and I'm telling you, there's something about Trump that I can't vote for him based on his policies, but his personality is fucking hilarious. Like this, you cannot believe this is the guy running for president, calling people sleazeballs and idiots and this and that. You're just like, what is? But he did. He actually made them listen to the 26 people donate. It was unbelievable, unbelievable. What's up?
I would replace hilarious with dangerous.
Yeah, dangerous is right. But who's better? I mean, Bernie is probably not going to win. Hillary.
How do you feel about Bernie? He's home team, man. He could be the first Jewish president.
Yeah, the guy, we finally get a Jew, doesn't care about money. So how do you feel about Bernie? I like Bernie's character. I like his integrity. As far as socialism goes, I think it works in some things, like social health care, Medicare. I do not believe that you can make college free. I think that will bankrupt all. I mean, that will. I don't understand how that's going to happen. How do you go from $50,000 a year to college? All of a sudden, college is free. Who's going to pay the teachers? Who's going to pay the coaches? Who's going to pay for the building?
Well, like, if we could meet somewhere in the middle and just have interest-free loans, because right now the government is profiting off student loans, and that's absurd.
That's absurd.
The
okay.
government should not be making money from an 18-year-old kid that wants to go to school.
Right, which is a far stretch, though, from making college free, which is what he's promising.
I'm from Oregon. They passed a law in Oregon that you can go to 2 years of community college for free. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's,
now that's not going to get you a 4-year degree, and it's not going to get you, you know, these days I feel like kids got to go to grad school to even get a job, but that's a start. 2 years of community
college. Yeah, they have that now. It's already free, college. Community college is pretty much free. So, but he's saying college is free, and kids are running around thinking that it's going to be free college, and that's insane. I don't think you can really do that. And I think that Bernie, while I like where he's coming from, and I do believe the system is, and also attacking the 1%, look, yeah, it is crazy sometimes that it is ridiculous how like 1% of the population owns half the money. That's not right. But some people deserve to make money. I have no problem with Bill Gates fucking being a billionaire. You can't just fault people for being successful. And there is this attitude that people have of like, oh, you know, fuck the 1%. No, I want to be part of the 1%. I would love to have a fucking $1 billion. That's one of my goals. I don't think it'll ever happen.
The way that you hang on to the $1 billion is that the system is there's you know, the what's the company in Delaware where Trump and Hillary and all these people are like, there's a building. Have you heard this story? There's this building where there's like 6,000 companies registered. It's a tax haven.
Right. No, there's a lot of problems, and I like where Bernie's coming from. I think out of all of them, I'm going to vote for Bernie because Hillary, I don't trust her, and I hate the way she communicates. She just yells at me. She reminds me of my fucking stepmom when I was growing up. I'm like, get off the couch! Just screaming hawkishly, and then she's all bought out and, you know, by all these corporations. I don't know. Back to MMA.
I'm voting
all
for Chael Sonnen.
So
Chael Sonnen, Randy Couture,
Don Fry
for president, vice president.
Abel Trujillo,
a fucking murderer, and I love him.
Is he a murderer?
Yeah, dude.
He's a guy that looks like he's a beast. He is a beast, but I don't know. Do you think I like Abel a lot? He actually came on the podcast and he like got mad at me for roasting him, and we had like a rap battle, me and Abel, on the podcast.
I'm so glad I never heard that.
He's super cool. There's just something that like isn't like he won and he looked great, but he's also a guy that like it seems like if you can last with him, you have a shot of beating him if you can get past that first round, which is not an easy task. But that kid did very well for himself.
Jordan Rinaldi?
Yeah.
No, he did well. You know, Abel just kept coming through three rounds. He's been working on conditioning. He did a good job. You know, I remember the Abel that came in, and it was like, if he doesn't knock you out and you take him down,
yeah,
the fight's over.
Right.
He had no defense. He had no wrestling, nothing.
Yeah.
And then he finished a guillotine with, like, not even the guard in.
He had wrestling, though. He
does. But now he's working with Neil Melanson on jiu-jitsu, and, you know, Henry Hooft is improving his striking. But he kept coming for that dude all three rounds. And Rinaldi's a tough, tough kid.
Tough kid.
But Abel looked really good. He continues to improve. And I see him continuing to do very well. Plus, he's a super nice guy.
I do, too. Now, he's Kevin Lee called him out. And
Kevin Lee's calling every Will Brooks out for like a week. That was the best Twitter exchange I've ever seen.
But Kevin Lee versus Abel, that would be a good fight. I would watch that fight in a heartbeat.
I think if Kevin can't get him down, he's going to get knocked out. If Thiago Santos or Leonardo Santos knocked him out.
Yeah, but you can't always go by that because there are guys that have been knocked out.
But
I mean, you and I have both seen fights where a guy who supposedly does not have a lot of power knocks out somebody, and then that person fights someone who has a lot of power and walks through some of his punches.
Yeah, I just... Abel has, like, stupid power. He might be the hardest hitter at 155.
You really believe that?
I think he could be up at the top. I also don't understand how he makes 155 because everything about him is just, like, so yoked out. It looks like somebody took baseballs and put them in his shoulders.
He does look incredible. So I was happy for him. I was happy because I did not want him to get cut. Now, I think that's pretty much all the fights. That first fight was a great fight as well. That Adam
Milstead and De La Rocha.
Yeah,
I felt bad for the 30 people that came just to watch De La Rocha, and then he got knocked out and they left.
Really?
Yeah, what? they were all wearing Team De La Rocha shirts. It was the same shirt. It was a red shirt. Well, there was like 30 of them in the lower bowl, and as soon as he got destroyed and finished, you didn't see, I think I saw two of them later on.
What bothers me about De La Rocha though, as exciting as he is, and you know, you got a heavyweight, you want to see heavyweights get either get knocked out or knock somebody out, which is what you got with him. But he's 4-2. He was 4-1 going into the fight. Now he's 4-2. So you got a guy who's 4-2 in the UFC, but you don't have Ben Askren, who's 16-0, who was the Bellator champion, who's beaten a lot of really, really good fighters, great fighters, actually. There's a problem with that. You know, there's an issue with that. And I don't know how, I know how to solve it. You sign Ben Askren. But then, of course, you know, word is that I've heard that Ben is getting $100,000 a fight in 1FC. That's what people have told me.
He's getting it, fucking take it.
If he's getting $100,000 a fight, UFC is not going to offer him that. They're going to give him maybe 20-20, maybe.
They'll start him low. Same thing I've said about Will Brooks. He's talking about coming in and making all this money and whatever. They're not going to give him 40-40 or 60-60.
They might give him 40-40.
I don't know about that. They gave Sage Northcutt 40-40. I don't see them giving him, if they sign him. You know, he was too vocal on Twitter about hating Bellator, and you know, you don't really want to take that chance with the UFC, and then you got a guy who's just trashing you all the time.
There's
got
to be another promotion that steps up, because it just seems
there
like
there isn't one, though.
I know there has to. There's got to be. I'm telling Venator. That could be it. It could be Venator. It just seems like World Series of Fighting is sort of not owned by the UFC, but they seem to have some type of really good relationship. And Titan FC.
World Series doesn't have a budget.
They have no budget.
Titan FC.
Two
guys making $160K a fight.
There's got to be something, because it just seems like there's a bunch of guys out there right now that you could hand pick from other organizations that are really good. I mean, if I was going to start my dream league, I don't know. I'd probably, like, the best guys right now, not in the UFC. 10 best guys, or let's do 5.
Terry Caldwell.
Caldwell.
Ben Askren.
Ben Askren. Will Brooks. I think that kid, that karate guy, Michael Venom Page.
Oh, MVP.
Paul Harris,
I think,
but that's not his fault.
I think Marlon Moraes and Justin Gaethje are in that
absolutely. Those two. Dre the Bull, maybe. Not yet.
Not yet.
Bubba Jenkins, we're going to put Bubba in there.
I think Dre is lucky that Bubba couldn't take that fight.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
There's one fight I wanted to ask you what you thought of the decision.
Let me hear.
Felder and Berkman. Do you think Felder won that fight?
Yeah.
I don't. And I wanted Felder to win, but I
gave Berkman the first, Felder the second. I actually left halfway through the third, so I didn't see the...
It was really tough. I think it was a tough fight to score, but I don't know if Felder won it unanimous.
Josh Berkman, yeah, Felder's got a chin, because I actually talked to Gerald Harris, who said that Berkman hit him harder than anybody else ever hit him. Berkman actually has very underrated power.
And he's got great jiu-jitsu and wrestling.
Yeah.
He's
got a terrible tramp stamp.
Ugh.
I don't know.
Oh, I know. We were talking about
I don't
that.
Know what... Whoever thought that was a good idea of, like, listen, I'm going to go to a tattoo parlor and get a tattoo right above my ass. Right now, there's two guys competing for the worst tramp stamp. It's Gray Maynard and Josh Berkman. And, like, why would you do that?
I don't even have
alcohol.
A tramp stamp.
Alcohol, really?
I don't know. Maybe they went in drunk. Maybe a buddy bet him. Maybe they lost a bet.
My friend Justin Berkman is a comedian. He has dumbass on his ass. And that was, like, through a bad bet. He has the word dumbass. I actually did a show one time, and this girl came up to me. I talked about how, like, I like girls with tattoos right above their asses. I call them doggy-style decorations, right? And I talk about how, you know, and then this girl came up to me afterwards, and she was like, I did a whole thing of, like, if I was a girl, I'd get a tattoo right above my ass that says, pull out or I'm keeping it, right? And this girl came up to me after, she goes, I have deeper on my ass. I go, no, you don't. It was this big chick. Like, I didn't even want to see her ass. But she was huge. She was built like SpongeBob. But she but she had the words deeper in big letters on her ass. So I guess when you're fucking her, she wants it deeper, which is fucking crazy.
Maybe she wants you to say something really intelligent and thoughtful.
Oh, deeper? Like, she wants you to be deeper? Yeah, probably. Do you have any tattoos, Tyler?
I have no tattoos. Oh. I have no ink. I'm like an anti-CB.
In every way. By the way, somebody said that now that you're leaving, we have no more normal people on the podcast. It's completely... So anyway, by the way, so the people listen to the podcast, it should be up tonight, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to do them twice a week. If we have a fighter in town, like we have McCorkle coming this week on Friday, we're going to try to do it 3 days a week. As long as Joe can come here... We'll give Joe a mic. We're gonna have a great show. It's gonna be good. Don't worry, people. Okay, I got you.
The show must go on.
Yeah, a few people asked me at the show at the fights if the show's going under, and I said no.
No.
I said not at all. Which, by the way, two fans actually hit me up on Twitter to come out to the concourse and meet them.
Oh, nice.
In the middle of the fights.
And you met them?
Yeah.
Were they cool?
I went out and hung out with them, yeah.
Did you guys kill anybody together? Or?
No. One was... One wanted me to say hi to you, but I gotta look up at who it was.
Yeah.
He was
By the way, your girlfriend's with us right now. How's it going with the girlfriend? You guys getting along?
No, I hate her. I brought her here to leave her here.
Nice. There you go.
Really, Adam?
When's your birthday? February. All right.
She's passed.
So you're gonna be 21.
It's
Oh, you're legal now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
It's Joe Apple Moore.
Nice.
That's the
Oh, yeah, that guy looks very normal.
No, but do you know who I'm...
I do know him. Yeah, I know him.
So, yeah, he was... he wanted to meet me. It was pretty cool. And, oh, speaking of which, before we leave the subject, I have numerous fighters, somewhere, not more than a dozen, but that I talk to during fight week and at the event, that are begging me to come on the show.
Really?
Yes, and she will prove it. Paul Bradley stopped me at least 3 or 4 times.
Paul Bradley from Bellator?
Saying, call me, hit me up.
Oh, wow.
I want in. He lives in San Diego. Sayada Wad said he would come in with Georgie. They would do the podcast together. Johnny Case.
Oh, I like him too.
Hit me up. We talked for 20 minutes out in the concourse. So many guys want to come in.
No, this podcast, we have the People's Champion podcast. We may not have the most listeners, but we have the best listeners,
so
number
for
one.
Who thinks I'm crazy to talk to fighters?
No,
I'm promoting this show because I love this more than I love
myself.
You're
the second best thing to happen to the show, aside from me. Okay, so you are...
but you haven't...
Tyler.
You haven't.
By the way, and Greg is coming back on Saturday. By the way, Greg Wilson's coming back. What?
You have admitted before on podcasts that I do care more about this show than you.
So there have been times where I'm like, fuck, I gotta prepare a show. CB will fucking tell me what's happening in the world. Yeah. No, there's nobody that I know that knows more about MMA than you. I haven't met anybody yet. I've met so many fans.
If you do, am I out of a job?
Absolutely. You're gone, dude. You're fucking, you're done.
So I'll get my tattoo covered up.
You're done. Now this week, let's go over some of the fights. Are you coming Thursday with Frank Mir?
We'll talk after. Hopefully. What time?
Why? What do you mean? What are you gonna do?
We're gonna talk scheduling now on the podcast.
Yeah.
What time are we doing?
You razzed me for talking too much shit on the podcast.
I'm looking out for you,
which
dude.
Could have been done in behind closed doors, no microphones.
You want us to take it out of the show?
No, I don't fucking care, dude.
All right.
I'm gonna get a bunch of tweets like, you're an asshole.
No, you're not. I'm gonna get an ass. Let CB fucking say whatever the fuck he wants. Who
no,
the fuck are you?
No,
you're a fucking hypocrite. You roast people
right
all the time.
In that regard. You're right in the regard. Yeah, I took it a little far. I'm still tired. I'm recouping. I got to graft the rest of the week. I need like 2 weeks till I'm back to normal. So right now, I'm on Twitter especially, I'm cranky and tired.
I know. I just don't want to see anything happen to you. Because I will be responsible for it.
I was kind of pissed off, and then I'm like, you know what? You're actually right. But I thought the Paige joke was kind of funny. It went a little far, but it was funny.
You know, it's one of those things, though, if like...
So I apologize to our fans for talking shit to you, slamming your head in lockers and...
Yeah,
whatever.
You don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. You're above it, okay? So what were we talking about?
Fights this week.
Does Uriah Faber have a chance against Dominick Cruz? I'm not writing him off. There's something about Uriah Faber. He knows this is the last hurrah. He knows this is it. If he doesn't beat Cruz right now, he's not getting another shot.
He should hang it up if he doesn't beat Cruz.
But he's a guy that sometimes fights down to his opponent, but other times fights up to his opponent. And, you know, I think he's... I don't know if he's going to win.
He needs a finish to
win. It's going
to
be competitive.
He needs
it's going
to
be very, very competitive. Because I don't think Cruz is going to knock him out. Faber has been hurt, but Cruz isn't really like a bomb thrower. He's a volume puncher.
Faber's only really been hurt in the UFC by two Brazilians. In the WEC, there was a guy named Mike Brown who
Mike Brown
ripped his head off
with
a punch. But in the UFC,
fellow Mainer.
Yeah, UFC was Barão and Aldo that really hurt him. I don't see Dom knocking him out, but Faber I think needs a finish to get this belt.
He does. I just hope he doesn't go to a bunch of parties this week, fuck a bunch of strippers, porn stars, banging. I mean, this dude gets so many chicks. he's on a different level. I don't know. He's 37, 38, I think. He's my age. I don't know if he's getting married. A guy like that, I don't know, man. I mean, I think maybe he'll settle down. Maybe.
He's 37.
37?
2 weeks ago.
He's kind of older, right? I'm 38. My girlfriend's 25. Thank God.
I'm almost 31. My girlfriend's 21.
I know. So you should knock her up. Have little graphers. But I think that
if I have kids, I can use them to get more autographs.
There you go. Perfect. Your kids are gonna come out with 4 tattoos.
Hopefully, yes. McGregor tattoos.
Yes. Kenny, I think it fights me very competitive. If I had a gun to my head, I say Cruz wins. But I'm not counting Faber out of this fight.
Yeah, I think I'd have to side with Cruz. If it goes to decision, I'm with CB on that. I think if it goes to decision, Cruz is going to get it because of his pace, his work rate. I think he's going to be able to make Faber miss more. I think Faber maybe gets him on wrestling in the ground. Faber's got... it's really hard to pick against Faber. He's incredibly durable. He's had a lot more fights. He's way more active. He's had like what, 8 fights since Cruz's was out.
Yeah,
he had like between 8 and 10.
But there's something about him with the title shots, man. You wonder if there's like a curse. Like he just can't seem to get it done when that belt is on the line. And that aside, I mean, Cruz is just so technical and so quick, man. I think he outstrikes him and makes him miss. And
Faber's undefeated in non-title fights, wow. If I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
But he is all defeated in UFC title fights.
That one fight, though, I thought he was losing before that guy Frankie.
Frankie Sands?
Yeah, no, not Frankie Sands. The guy that like hurt himself, like Faber guillotined him, but he like poked him in the eye first. Something happened.
Oh, Francisco Rivera.
Yeah, I thought he was losing.
I talked to Cisco about that the other night. He wants that rematch.
I thought he was losing that fight.
He was losing that fight, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So
I think Cruz to a win.
Cruz is, honestly though, thing about Cruz, and I know this personally, he is such a fight nerd. I mean, he's a guy, he doesn't party, he doesn't drink, I don't think. He sits home and he watches fights. That's all he does. And he's an angry little fucker. Like he's mean. He's a fucking mean dude. I mean, if he likes you, he's nice. But he's fucking mean, and he's competitive as shit. I'm looking forward to this fight. I am looking forward to this fight a lot. By the way, but I'm not sure if we should go over the fights now, or if we have 2 more podcasts, we should wait till closer in the week. The fights that did get made, though, Arlovski-Barnett. We could talk about that for a second. Barnett wins, I believe. Yeah. I think Barnett wins this fight. I think he's too big. And Arlovski is a big guy. I just think, I don't know how he wins, but I think he wins.
He's not going to fuck around like he did with...
Rothwell,
I mean, he was very tentative in that fight. I think with Arlovski, I think he's going to go out there, probably try and take him down and get a submission on him, and I don't see it. I mean, Arlovski has a puncher's chance, but I don't think he's going to get the opportunity to throw anything. If Josh just steamrolls him and takes him down, it's going to end early. I can say arm triangle because that's Barnett's favorite move.
And Andre's with Lou Trishan, too, so I think that definitely Barnett wins this fight. I'm just kidding, Lou Trishan. Now, you?
Who I got in that fight?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, probably Josh Barnett. I mean...
Plus, Colleen came on the podcast, and she was fucking awesome. How cool.
So I've listened to it, I think, 2 or 3 times.
How great was she?
That was so much fun. I'm so glad I got her to come in.
She's hot, too. She has that Jamie Lee Curtis thing where, like, I don't know. She just has that great body, really pretty face, cool as shit. She's like a physics major. They must do some...
Physics major, black belt in taekwondo.
They must have the craziest sex. I mean, I picture that.
I don't know about... I think Barnett probably just fucking, like, demolishes her, and she just kind of has to take it.
I don't know.
She's so fucking forceful.
I think they probably put on death metal. It's just black.
Well, that's a given.
It's just black. They walk into... Josh walks into the room. He doesn't know where the fuck he is. She hops out and just tackles him, kind of. He plays along. Then he just, like, fucks her. Then he chokes her, puts her in the fucking... In like the toilet or something, and they love it, and then they shower together. It just something goes on. It's crazy. Fireworks go off. It's just probably nuts. And don't you think that's kind of maybe this?
You forgot really, the sacrificial lamb in there.
Yeah, a couple clowns or
like, cutting fucking. They're slaughtering animals while they're doing it.
Chainsaws. It's probably just insane, or they just do regular missionary style, but one or the other. And then it's going to be Verdum versus Rothwell, right?
Yeah, Verdum got Rothwell. I think that's a kind of a silly fight to make.
Yeah, Verdum all day.
That I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
Then if you don't know, how is it a silly fight if you don't know?
Because I think it's just a silly fight in terms of the rankings. You know, yeah, they're both coming off of losses. But I don't know. I feel like Junior should have got Verdum. Made that rematch because Junior's on a win. Verdum just lost the belt. And now that you've already made Stipe Alistair, you take a look at what could be next, which all of which are rematches, depending on that. So I guess why they went with Rothwell.
So what are they doing? They're doing Travis Brown versus Cain Velasquez, and then the winner fights Stipe?
Maybe. They already told Mark Hunt to be ready for 200.
Oh, come on.
He's gonna he'll replace either Cain or Travis. Which...
Somebody said they heard it was going to be Mark Hunt versus Brock for 200. Is that true?
No, it's not true. Brock's under ironclad WWE contract. He's been advertised for shows coming up. He said he won't return to fighting because no matter what the UFC offers him, Vince is going to offer him more, and he's only going to have to work, you know, a dozen
days
a year.
But a guy like that, right? Brock Lesnar has probably made, I would think.
He was making $5 million a fight.
See, I would think he has over $50 million.
Now?
Yeah.
He's probably got more. WWE is paying
him. So let's say he has
stupid money.
Let's say he has $100 million, right?
Yeah.
It's him and Sable. They live in like a hut in Minnesota, right?
They live on a huge ass farm.
Okay, a farm, right?
Yeah, that's where his gym was.
In Minnesota, okay, so that's probably like what, $9 a month rent? I mean,
at this point, they probably give it to him because they don't want to show up and be like, "We need your rent." What?
Yeah, but seriously, like, I wonder sometimes why is Brock still doing this? And not, he probably loves it. He's a competitor. He'd be bored as shit if not. But a guy like that, you think he has $100 million? He's very seems like I don't think he's going out and buying Bentleys and making it rain
he
on strippers. I mean,
he hates public.
He hates
snowmobiles
public.
And guns.
Yeah, he probably.
I don't even think he has guns. He don't need a gun. It's Brock fucking Lesnar. But WWE's paying him to work less than a dozen days a year, and they're paying him like 10, 20 million.
So what
a
do you
year.
Think he's doing all that money? Saving it for? Does he have any kids?
Yeah, he has a few.
With Sable?
Yes, all his kids.
Is Sable still hot or no? She used to be so hot.
She used to be so hot, but I mean, it's been a long time.
She's
since
Jewish
she was in
too.
WWE spotlight. Rena Mero.
Yeah, I heard she's
or
Jewish.
Rena Lesnar now.
I heard she's Jewish.
I don't know about that, but
you don't know that? You being the Jew you are.
You're a Jew too.
I know.
Greenberg.
I know. Jews know other Jews. That's like our thing.
I don't know, but Brock's making stupid money to not have to do shit. Instead of, you know, you work, whatever, a dozen days a year. That's still way less than doing an eight-week training camp and going in there.
No, I'm
not
denying.
And the diverticulitis.
I'm not denying. I'm just wondering.
That's crippling.
I just sometimes wonder, and I'm not saying this, I'm not making an opinion on it. What I'm saying is I sometimes wonder what keeps guys like that going, as opposed to just retiring.
The love of the game, man. When you reach whatever you think your pinnacle is with comedy, I bet once you hit it, you're going to still want to go
but
do
he seems
shows.
Like the kind of guy
that
doesn't, I don't think he loves wrestling. For some reason... I don't think Brock Lesnar. You think he loves it?
He
but
loves
the,
it.
The competition
you
and the spotlight and the and the.
And he's only 38. He's still young for the business.
I don't know.
I mean, he's got a few more years.
If I had $100 million, right, and I accomplished what Brock Lesnar's accomplished, which was like a 2-time national champion. He played for Minnesota Vikings practice time. He was the UFC champion. He was the WWE champion. I had all that fucking money. I mean, yeah, I wonder, you got $100 million. Do you keep going out of lack of boredom? Or you don't want to be bored? So you just like do it for fun, shits and giggles? Or do you do it for the money? Or do you just do it because? Do you ever wonder that at times?
Maybe he feels a sense of duty. Like, listen, I'm this, I got to do it. I got to do it because I'm a beast and the fans need me. And he's a freaking Viking. It's just
so funny sometimes. There's always like, you know, I understand my drive when I want to get out of this 2-bedroom apartment and I want to get a family and a mansion and everything else. And I want to be the best comic in the world. I want to be the best comic in the world. I want to be the best podcaster. I want to be the best actor. I want to be the best this. I want to have the best girlfriend. Yada, yada, yada. But when I see a guy like Judd Apatow, right, whose movies have, you know, I mean, that guy's probably worth, what do you think, $50 million, $100 million?
Who knows, dude?
Got to be around there based on movie sales.
And I see him now doing stand-up comedy back in the comedy club.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, why the fuck is this guy doing this? And
because there's a realness to it, man.
Well, I asked him. He's like, dude, my wife's pregnant. Like, I got out of the house. Like, so maybe, but you ever think of that? Like, there's never really a documentary on that. There's always a documentary on the guy coming up.
Yeah.
But the guy that keeps doing it, that's what I'm fascinated. And I'm not saying I wouldn't be that guy, but I'm wondering what...
The thing is, I think when you have a passion, it's just you would do it. Like, we've all done this for free. We're doing it for free, still going out. And I think that's the same with some of these fighters and competitors and, like, comedy. Like, it's your passion. You love it. You would do it for free. So even if you made $100 million, you're still going to want to do it.
Ron Jeremy still fucks girls right now. And he still does porn.
Of course he does.
Well, but I think he spent all his money, but it's a bad... Or he doesn't have much money. I see him driving like a car that you're like, that's Ron Jeremy. Like,
he shouldn't be driving. Doesn't he have narcolepsy?
I heard all his money is like underneath his bed. But then someone said he like owns a bunch of apartments in his complex. Like he owns a bunch of apartments and rents them out to people.
Maybe you misheard him. Maybe they said he made all of his money on top of it.
I don't know. CB, you should start a fight promotion.
Why?
You'd be great at it. You ever think about it?
I'm trying to replace Joe Silva.
Really? As a matchmaker?
I'd pretty much do anybody's job in the UFC.
CB Fight League.
I would do...
grenade fights.
I would be an announcer. I'd be a commentator. I could do matchmaking. I could do Helwani's position. I feel like I'm versatile enough to do anybody's position in the UFC. And so Dana
except
and I
for the,
are going to have a
fighters.
Chat on Sunday.
What?
I said Dana and I are going to have a chat on Sunday.
Really?
Oh, no. Really. I'm not going to go up to him at your fucking show and be
yeah,
like,
I was like
hey, Dana,
it's sold out.
By the way, I already bought my ticket VIP.
Oh, fucker.
So.
Nice.
Good job. By the way, it was funny. I was talking to Ray Longo in Vegas, and he goes, I didn't even know the information was out that Matt's doing that thing. And then I talked to Matt, and Matt was, it was late, we'll just say that, and he came from the bar. And Matt was fucking hilarious. He's like, I don't know how to do stand-up comedy. I don't know what I'm going to do when I get up there. It's going to be crazy. I could beat people's asses, but I can't fucking make jokes. I don't know what the hell. I'm like, look, I know that you, Nick, and Dana are getting up there. He goes, Nick shouldn't get up there. He's retarded, but I shouldn't be saying that.
No
and
way.
And he was like, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to... I'm like, just make jokes about your career. I mean, you can make a joke out of like... You know, when Rich Franklin came onto The Ultimate Fighter with you and was like, why don't you go out on one knee? Can't kick you in the face. Like, that's funny. And he was just, he's super nervous, but I'm so excited for that show. I think it's going to
be
amazing.
He'll be great. Those guys will be great. Matt Serra's is funny. This is a funny person.
I think he's the funnier one, and I think Tyler should replace Callan.
I appreciate that. I'd love to see the comedy duo of Longo Serra on stage.
By the way, I do got to say, no, maybe I'll say this. But
really? You're gonna tease us with that?
I'll save it for next week.
Spit it out there.
I'll save it for next week. Yeah, so anyway, people that I've gotten hit up a lot by people. I've had over 100 people now asking me for tickets for the week I'm gonna be in Vegas at the Stratosphere. So hit me up. I'll get you on the guest list. I'm there Tuesday night through Friday night, and then there's another show on Sunday night. So two shows, Friday and 8 and 10. I'm going to try to go to UFC 200, get tickets for that. So hit me up, and I will get you tickets for that. And then this Sunday, like we said, I'm going to be doing I'm hosting the show with Dana White, Matt Serra, Nick the Tooth, Brian Callen, and David Spade. It's going to be a fun show.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. So it's gonna be it's so funny though because I've been asking people to come to shows for like so long, and all of a sudden girls are like, can I go to that show? I'm like, you guys, it's always funny when like you ask people to come to your show for like 3 years, and you're like, oh, Dane Cook's gonna be there. Oh, really? Can I?
I want to come see you, Adam. Yeah, you want to come see Dane?
Yeah, yeah, I know. I know. What?
My presence has been requested by a comedian at the Dime Bar tonight.
Who?
Gabe Killian.
Oh, is Gabe on the show? Oh, I put him on the show. Fuck, I forgot about him on the show.
You did because he's not on the fucking flyer.
I know.
He's not on the flyer, but he's like, you got to come to the Dime Bar. I'm like, oh, it's a fan. And I look at the flyer. He's not on there.
I know. I have too many comics.
I guess now. I guess I know now.
Thanks. No, I'm going to put Gabe on the show.
Why do I have more knowledge of your life than you do? Every week, I'm like, fucking
I got to hire him as my assistant. He'd be great.
You're going to have to bump Dane or Damon Wayne.
Gabe Killian is funny, though. Like, he's legit. Hilarious, and he loves our show. He always texts me like, "I love your press conferences." He's really funny. He's sick. He's dark as fuck. Like his jokes are like, and very unassuming. He looks like this like nice, not small, but skinny kid, and he says the most fucked up shit. He's really funny. So Gabe, if you're listening, I'm a fan, and I just forgot I put you on it.
I love all the people that tweeted out to you and me over the on Sunday. Like, oh, this McMahon I fight is about as good as the press conference.
Oh, yeah.
Was, and I'm like,
I listened to that press conference again. It was funny.
It was funny, but it was rough. It was pretty.
The press conference or the fight?
Between McMahon and I, it was okay, but I mean, we've had some fireworks in here, and they were like, we're friends, we're going to go out there, and then they fight.
Yeah, but then what I didn't like about that was they came on our show and said that, I go, who got the best in sparring? And then no one said anything. And then on the fight,
maybe it's because they didn't
Brian
know.
Stan was like, Brian Stan was like, you know, Jessica I was very vocal that she got the best in sparring. And I'm like, and all of a sudden, like that whole week, they were like, they said they didn't like each other. And it was like, they didn't give us any of that shit. These guys aren't giving us the good stuff. What's up with that? What is that, Tyler? I love when I talk and people are on their phones showing people. And then
doing business over here.
Irrelevant.
What are you looking at?
Looking at Gabe's. I was trying to put a face to the name because I know I heard the name, but I couldn't picture his face. I was just on Twitter looking for his.
Oh, well,
his
thank you, Tyler.
Relax, Adam. We're planning your surprise party for next year.
I love you guys, man. But anyway, so I think this is going to work out in the apartment. What do you think?
I like it.
You like it better? I've already got a line on a bunch of posters too.
You like it better?
I do. It's homey. It's cozy. Your dog's here.
Like, my dogs. I got two. By the way, I'm getting tomorrow. I'm getting the kitten.
Yeah. Of course you are. Wait a second. Here's a more important question. Did you put money down on the fights this past weekend?
No, I wasn't in Vegas.
You don't bet unless you're in Vegas?
I don't bet unless I'm in Vegas because I don't trust.
How'd you bet on Leslie Smith then?
I didn't.
For Cyborg.
I didn't. And what happened was I asked Goes. If he, you know, Goes from Gorgeous George and the Goes, they do the MMA Junkie. He gave me like a, I don't know if you can even talk about this. But anyway, there are links that you can go and bet on like five dimes or whatever.
There's online
I'm not
bets.
Sure if they're even legal, those things, or what the deal is. But
I told
always
my friend to bet on two fights and he won both of them.
I always feel like I'm going to win big on a parlay and then they're not going to pay me. And then who am I going to complain to? I'm always worried that that's going to happen.
Us.
Yeah, I'm going to complain to you, but who am I going to, you guys owe me this money. What am I going to do, sue five dimes? They'll be like, your bet didn't go through or some bullshit.
Or if it's like illegal to begin with. It's like going to the cops when a crack deal goes bad on you, like, hey, he stole my money.
Yeah.
What happened? Well, I was trying to buy some crack and then
right.
You should have been on the website anyway.
Exactly.
I don't know.
No, that happened. There was a kid in my school, Jeremy Butler, this kid in high school. He went downtown when I was at boarding school and he stole a drug dealer's weed. He went to go buy weed and he ran away with it. And he's like, what is it going to do? Call the cops? Like, he, you know, it's exactly what happened.
I've actually done that.
You stole drug dealer's weed?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you, man? What went wrong?
How much time do you have?
You probably figured the guy didn't have the cardio, and by the time he got to the end of the block, he wouldn't remember anyway.
And anybody listening, listen, I love CB. He's like family to me, okay? So I was not being hard on him. I just don't want to, you know, I don't want to see him piss off fighters or like what's the name, you know. It'll affect the show and it'll affect you.
Fuck me.
It'll affect you as well because you're part of the show. And also,
I'll tell Paige I apologize.
She didn't even look at it.
I know she didn't look at it.
Don't apologize.
The comic doesn't get sarcastic.
Oh, I don't. Well, Paige used to follow me. She doesn't follow me anymore. And I think it was because we kept asking her ex-boyfriends about if they hooked up with her or something. And then like I think she got upset. What are you gonna do? You know. But it was like common knowledge that they were dating. She was dating.
No,
love.
Why are you giving me the like whole disclaimer?
I don't know. I went to therapy today.
People, there's two. Let's put it this way: from the guy that gets roasted, you fans of the show and the listeners and everything, don't worry about me. CB Gold is doing just fine. He's not fucking with me because he's being an asshole. He's fucking with me because he's a comic and he knows I understand it and don't get upset about it. I'm completely okay with everything that has ever gone on in the studio.
Yes.
If I wasn't, I would have walked out.
Yes.
Period.
Yes. There you go. He would have taken his axe and left.
But Adam is on a list. He's only has so many more strikes.
Yes, exactly. CB's like that guy, Steve Buscemi's role in what was it, Billy Madison, when he like, crosses people off? He calls them
I
off.
Don't put the lipstick on.
That was one of my favorite.
He just goes and gets another tattoo.
Except somebody apologizes to me, and then I end up sniping somebody else at a fucking talent show for elementary school.
Adam Sandler movies. I haven't seen them recently. I haven't seen the Netflix ones.
I was going to say, I want to see the Netflix ones.
But the first, was it good?
Oh, it's good.
With David Spade?
Mm-hmm. What about what's the other one? It was a ripoff of The Hateful Eight. It was like The Ridiculous Six or something.
It was bad.
It was bad.
You know, the first three when he came out with Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, and The Wedding Singer, they were just so good. It was like, it was amazing.
Even
it was,
Big Daddy was good. Little Nicky was a little cold.
And then Little Nicky was when it started getting rough. He didn't need to spend $80 million on a fucking movie. It was
well,
he
Zohan
had,
was unnecessary. Yeah. I didn't like that one. 50 First Dates was funny the first time.
I don't know. The first three were just amazing. Yeah. It was kind of like, I think when he stopped doing stand-up is when, it's that. I always tell people, like, stand-up comedy is like, a lot of people, they do comedy to get out of comedy. It's like, you do comedy to get a movie career. But the problem is that you get these guys that were brilliant comedians in the beginning. You got like, you know, Adam Sandler was a really good comic. Eddie Murphy was one of the all-time greats. And then these guys, they get successful and they make these really funny movies. Jim Carrey, another guy. But then they stop doing stand-up. They're like, fuck, do I want to go back to getting judged and writing new material and getting fucking booed? And they get surrounded by yes men. People who are paid to laugh.
Funny you say Jim Carrey and yes man.
You get 25 people around you that are just their job is to make you is to laugh at your jokes, and then all of a sudden your quality of work goes down because you don't have that impartial audience. You don't have that comedy club audience that you have to follow. You know, Louis C.K. or Dave Attell or Marc Maron or Godfrey or these other people, and then you're in my opinion. Your stuff isn't as funny as it was when you were still doing stand-up.
There's also – I've always wondered this too. I think there's something to be said for being out there and creating new content and working on your craft constantly. But I've always wondered, like, you think a guy has like a certain number of brilliant ideas and – I mean, Adam Sandler, like, he has made some brilliant movies, some really, really funny movies. And maybe he just had like three in him. And then he kept trying to make more and run out. I mean, do you think there's a limitless
potential? I think there's a part of that. I think Ellen DeGeneres said it took me 10 years to get an hour special. And then all of a sudden, 6 months later, they were like, when's your next hour? And they're like, I just spent 10 years writing the first one. So there's that. But I do think that when you're at the comedy club, it really is like your everyday focus group.
Yeah.
And I think it also humbles you. And then you realize that all your ideas are not brilliant because people aren't laughing at them.
Yeah.
Guys who have, you know, continuously made funny stuff, they never left the comedy club. Chris Rock, I mean, his shit is timeless. He never left the comedy club. You could say that but about...
He's made some tough movies, though, man. I mean, like...
Yeah.
Pootie Tang and...
Oh, that was one bad one. and a couple, like, Why Did I Get Married? Or yeah, I mean, yeah, his movies exactly don't do justice to his just overall... I mean, the Chris Rock show was fucking hilarious.
The discrepancy between his stand-up and his movie career is bigger than probably
Well, he's
a
always
lot of
playing
others.
Himself in movies.
Yeah.
He's always playing himself. But, you know, Kevin Hart is still in the comedy clubs. Still, because he knows that's where his bread is buttered. Who else? You got to think of a guy who never left the comedy clubs. Jay Leno. Always in comedy clubs, and his stuff was always great. His monologues were fucking awesome. Jalen, I mean, you gotta say maybe Letterman had a better interview and had a better like the things on like funny like top 10 lists. But Leno's monologue, I don't see these new guys. They don't compare. Even the fat guy who sings karaoke in the fucking car every day, James whatever his name is,
James Corden,
and even what's the name's monologue is. Jimmy Fallon's is not the best part of the show, but Leno's monologue was insanely good.
And the headlines were always amazing. I always loved headlines.
He was a nice guy. He got a lot of shit for being corporate, whatever. But I mean, when it came to me, he changed my life.
And he has like the nicest car collection in the fucking world.
Yeah.
Oh man, he's awesome. I like Jay. I met him a couple times.
I see him driving around Burbank all the time.
Really?
He keeps his cars in an airplane hangar.
Yeah.
Over by the Burbank Airport. That's wow. How many he's got.
He's got like 100, 150 cars or something like
I've
that.
I've seen him cruising around in all kinds of different cars in Burbank.
But trying to think of other guys that never left the comedy club. And I don't know if – I think Galifianakis is still doing comedy.
Even Rogan's still doing stand-up.
Perfect example, Rogan. And, you know, like now Rob Schneider's back
there.
Russell Peters. But he never had that other body of work. Like he always had stand-up. He didn't have – I'm talking about guys who became movie stars or TV stars – that their stuff kind of went down a little bit once they stopped doing comedy. Drew Carey, I think he's still doing comedy. But also, a lot of these guys do comedy in a way where they're just headlining their own shows. But there's a big difference between grinding and going up at the Comedy Store, the Comedy Cellar, the Laugh Factory, the Improv, and having to compete with comedians and headlining, doing your own hour, bringing your own feature, and doing it in front of your own audience. There's a difference, you know, and I think the first one's a lot harder to do.
And I can't wait to get to the second one.
All right. With that being said, every Tuesday night I'm at the Dime Bar in Hollywood. I'm going to be in Calgary the 13th to the 16th in Calgary, Canada. And then I'm going to be in Rochester.
The Comedy Cave.
The Comedy Cave. CB the assistant. CB.
I'm going to be in Calgary and there's like 15 million people there, but I'm not going to tell you where I'm going to be.
I love you, brother. And then I'm going to be at the Rochester, the Comedy Club in Rochester the following week. This is called the Comedy Club. and then the first week of July, I will be at the Stratosphere, at the LA Comedy Club. July 5th, I have a show called The Greatest Wedding Ever on True TV. It's about the time I got attacked at the wedding. It's like one of those greatest series. So watch that. And I sold a TV show last week. I'm not going to say it to what network, but I sold a TV show.
How much did you make?
I'm not going to say that either.
Enough to keep this podcast another week?
Yeah, exactly. So things are good. Tyler, what do you got coming up?
I got July 15th, 16th. I'll be at Laughs Comedy Cafe in Tucson, Arizona. July 28th, 29th, 30th. I'm at the Tacoma Comedy Club in Tacoma, Washington. So come see me. I know we got some fans out in Arizona and some fans up in Washington. So come check me out there.
CB, what do you got?
Hanging out, graphing this week till fight night, and then nothing.
Oh, and Saturday I got something going on Saturday. I think I got something going on.
You're coming with me.
Oh shit!
UFC,
going to the UFC fights.
Yes,
with Adam.
Did you really forget it? You're waiting for him to tell
I
you.
I was just being a dork.
Oh,
by
the way,
stoked.
By the way, this Friday night I'm going to be at the HaHa at 8:30 and 10:30. So if you're in town for $199, want to come to the HaHa Cafe on Lancashire in North Hollywood this Friday night, and this Sunday night, if you're still in town. Come to the show with me, Dana White, Matt Serra, Brian Callen, and David Spade,
and Nick CB
and Gold. Nick the Tooth, called Looking for a Fight. I want to thank our sponsor, Tip a Fighter. Listen, let's get these fighters paid more. They work their asses off. They deserve it. Tipafighter.com. Go to tipafighter.com. Make sure you tip these guys. I know Kevin Lee's with Tip a Fighter. A bunch of Invicta girls with Tip a Fighter. A bunch Aljamain. Of Bellator people. Aljamain, if you like the way Aljamain fought last week in the first round, tip that guy. Tipafighter.com, or just tip him anyway.
First, I just heard that.
Tip a Fighter. I want to thank Joe Perez. Where can people find you, Joe?
I'll be at the HaHa this Friday with Adam.
Nice.
Standing around in the back.
What's your Twitter handle?
It's Joe P.
Joe P. Comedy. Follow this guy. He's a funny dude. He's a nice guy. I was there the first night he got laid.
Yeah.
Yes.
What?
Can we tell that story?
We'll have a microphone.
Okay, we're going to tell that story about the night Joe got laid. We'll tell that on the Thursday with Frank Mir. I'm sure he wants to hear it. So thank you guys so much. We got Frank Mir coming in, as well as Richard Hunter, okay, who...
what about Burchick and
that's
and
on Thursday,
McCorkle.
Rich Hunter and McCorkle and Burchick coming in on Friday, as well as Bubba Jenkins. We have a lot of shows, so it's cool. All I got to do is go next door, in the next room I'm over. So thank you guys so much. Take care. Bye-bye.